John Busby with the Culture Buzz, and we were having such fun communicating with each other before we started sharing the conversation with you folks. My next guest, I said, you know, we've got to really simply start letting this out to everyone else. Myra Goodman is my guest. She is the co-author of a fascinating book. It's called Quest for Eternal Sunshine, and wonderfully enough, questforeternalsunshine.com is the website to connect with this book, with these authors, with these people. There is so much content in this book that it's almost like we're just going to let the conversation go where it may. Myra is good enough to spend time with me today to talk about Quest for Eternal Sunshine. What this book is about, it's a Holocaust survivor's journey from darkness to light. And we'll kind of illuminate that kind of intriguing subtitle there as we continue our conversation. Myra and I were having fun because Myra's earlier career included organic gardening. In fact, she's kind of one of the pioneers of organic gardening from starting about 35 years ago or so. And so I could have been talking about all sorts of things with her. But what I really want to do is talk about her father's journey. Mendek Rubin is his name. He co-authored this book. And if I'm going to ask you the question that I would expect other people have asked you, and that is, if you were to describe your book, Quest for Eternal Sunshine, Myra, in just a few sentences or kind of an overview, how would you try to help people in a couple of minutes wrap their brains around what this beautiful book is about?
But you know, the book is a journey both in the real world and inside my dad's mind and heart. So he had this incredible life story that started. He was born in 1924 in Poland between the two world wars, and as a Hasidic Jew. And I guess I'm not doing this in two sentences. Should I do it?
You expand.
I do it in two sentences, or should I try two sentences?
No, you just keep expanding because I want you to give us the essence from your perspective. And if it takes more than a few sentences, so be it.
Okay. Well, my father had a fascinating life story. He was a brilliant inventor. He was a real philosopher at heart and a real observer of people. And so this book is written first person in my dad's voice. It's based on a manuscript I found after he died. So this is a partnership that happened after my father died, a posthumous collaboration. And so it takes you through the war. He was in slave labor concentration camps for 3 years, survived the war while most of his family was killed, came to America as a refugee with no money, no skills, only a sixth grade education, and he was an inventor, and he created inventions that revolutionized the jewelry industry, and he made money, and he met my mom, and it was a beautiful love story, love at first sight, but no matter what happened in the world for him, all of his dreams coming true, he still couldn't break away from decades of depression, from the traumas that he experienced. And so he eventually turned his brilliant mechanical mind onto his own psyche, and he figured out how to heal himself. And so my dad became the most joyful, peaceful person I have ever met. And when I found his roadmap to happiness, after he died, I just felt I had to share it with the world. And 4 years of writing and research later, and now it's 5 years since I started, the book is coming out on April 14th.
I love it. There are so many directions I can go, but I think one of the things is this sense of discovery. Of course, you knew your father before he passed, but then there was this discovery after the fact. And at the same time, what he left, this unfinished manuscript, was far from something ready to be just kind of tweaked a little bit here and there, was it?
Yeah, and the thing is that my father, and it's very common for Holocaust survivors, my mother is also a Holocaust survivor, they never talked about their past. My father never wanted to talk about it. And I think that when I was younger, it was too painful. It's not a good bedtime story for your children. I think they were worried about bringing children into a world where something as horrific as they lived through had happened. And then when he had kind of gone through his awakening, healing, transformation, he really, part of his healing process was focusing on everything that was beautiful and joyful and living in the present and not reliving the past. He, one of his sayings was, a good memory is one that remembers the good. And he didn't want to go back to it. So really, I didn't know anything about his past. I didn't even know he had one sister who survived. I didn't know that there were six siblings in total and four of them had been murdered. I didn't know the story. And so when I found the manuscript that had, it had some beautiful essays that kind of leapfrogged throughout his life, some of them skipped full decades, I realized that to bring the book into the world, I had to fill in the blanks. And so I became very close to his sister, who I hardly knew before. She's a very Orthodox Jewish woman who lives in Brooklyn, and I live in California. Our lives are totally apart. And we became so close during years of research. And I was basically able to, through mostly her memories, recreate my dad's past that he left out. The book is actually in four parts. The first part is The World I Came From. That is really about his hometown in Poland through the war. And then it's The World I Discovered, coming to America. He was a soldier in Korea. He was a spiritual explorer and had some very wild experiences. And it ends up in California, actually, where my dad invented. So you were saying I was a gardener. My husband and I started gardening on a little 2-acre heirloom raspberry farm in 1984, and we named it Earthbound Farm. And we actually became the first people to successfully package salads for retail sale. And my dad had just retired, and he was the one that invented all the equipment and taught us how to think about efficient manufacturing. And he really launched us on our career, and Earthbound actually grew to become the largest grower of organic produce in the world. So, you know, people who are eating packaged salad are indirectly related to my dad, or directly related to my dad.
I love that part of the story. Quest for Eternal Sunshine is the name of the book, folks. Myra Goodman is my guest, and it was her father, Mendick Rubin, who she posthumously is honoring with this co-authoring of Quest for Eternal Sunshine. This is a book you need to read. There are so many lessons that translate well for the present and into the future, because I think that everyone has choices. Your father made bigger choices than most of us have ever had to make, and that is, and you kind of steer me along this path if I wander off it, but, and that is that what he survived was something that he had to cope with, and he made a choice to instead, as you said, find the good things and work on that for the then and future.
Exactly, and I think that was one of the biggest things, is he realized that he did not, even though he, one of his lines is, even though I had been victimized, I do not need to remain a victim. And he realized that when he identified as a victim, he lost his freedom of choice. And so he really decided that he was not going to let the traumas of the Holocaust define him and limit his peace and joy, and that he could, and he noticed how his mind just kind of kept repeating the same patterns of thought that kept him trapped in what he called a concentration camp of his mind. Mm-hmm. And so he really went about reprogramming his mind, and it was really about choosing joy. And also it was about forgiveness. And I think one of the things that my dad really believed, and it's something I've been thinking a lot about in the pandemic, is how contagious thoughts are, how contagious negative thoughts are, and how contagious positive thoughts are. And when my dad reflected on the Holocaust, he really saw how the millions and millions of people who were killed in, you know, during World War II by the Nazis, that it was, so much of it was focusing on the differences between people, and it was fueling the flames of hatred and divisiveness, and that he really believed that we really need to come together as one human family if we're going to have a peaceful future. You know, so I've been really reflecting a lot on how we're all dealing with this coronavirus, everyone in the world simultaneously. Nobody is protected by it. And it really is this unique time in history, I think, to be very aware of our interdependence, our interconnection. And I think my dad would really feel that we all have an opportunity right now to really learn something and move forward more peacefully as a human race.
Well, you are doing a wonderful job of moving his legacy into the future, expanding on it. Questforeternalsunshine.com is the website. It's also the title of this wonderful book. I would sound like the Mormon Tabernacle Choir if I started singing all of the praises, but here's one example. Nikiko Masumoto, co-author of Changing Season, A Father, A Daughter, A Family Farm, simply says, "This luminous book is a gift to the world." And that's really what I think this is. It's a book you need to get. It's a quiet, pensive kind of book. It's an exploratory book for yourself, as well as sharing in the journey that Myra has brought to you. I have a question that I need to ask, because I grew up in a family where I had three uncles who all served in World War II, and it's apples and oranges here, but there was so much that, again, that they tamped down deep inside themselves and never shared with the family. When you discovered your father's manuscript and started to totally understand what he had gone through, you had to have gone through a whole series of processes before it finally became apparent that you needed to create this book, this homage, Quest for Eternal Sunshine. Tell us a little bit about that process, because it must have been cathartic.
Yeah, it was. I remember finding this book and sitting, because I missed my dad. He actually had Alzheimer's for many years before he died, so I had lost him kind of slowly, and I didn't expect to miss him as much as I did when he finally passed, because I had thought it was a more gentle goodbye. But it turns out that when you have someone who you love that has Alzheimer's, at least for me, once he died, I kind of got him back before, you know, in my mind, who he was before he had Alzheimer's, and I missed him so much. And I was reading this book, and tears were just pouring out, because in one sense, you know, my dad, English was his fourth language, and he was dyslexic. Writing didn't come easy to him. He was so driven to share his story and to share his revelations and to try and help humanity kind of awaken a little bit to some of what he felt were the problems of why we inflict this, you know, war and cruelty on each other. You know, he had such a yearning to kind of share the lessons that he learned. But he also wrote this incredible memoir. I had no idea he could write this way, where he would magically take you back in place and time to little adventures he had when he was a little Hasidic boy in Poland, or some of his experiences in the concentration camps, where he would look at German soldiers and just wonder, you know, what was their common humanity if they had been born into each other's families, into each other's towns? Would he be the brutal Nazi soldier, and would that soldier be the brutalized inmate? You know, and he thought of these things. He was 17 when he was taken away to be a slave laborer, and these are the ideas that went through his mind that he continued to think about. So I was just blown away. I also didn't know how deep his suffering was, how deep his depression was for so long, how hard it was for him to actually want to stay alive. And so it's interesting. There's so much depression right now. There's so much anxiety right now that I really think that some of the journey that my father went through could really be of help to a lot of people.
Exactly. And I do believe that you folks out there will discover these same issues that Myra has just mentioned. It's a fantastic book. I'm just going to say it that way. You know, there's a soft spot in my heart for memoirs, folk. They have to be good. This is exceptional. This is going to take you on a journey that you will not expect, and in a beautiful way. And it's because that the sensibility, the wisdom, the goodness of Mendick Rubin is shining through the book that Myra has brought to us in Quest for Eternal Sunshine. It's a beautiful book. Go to the website, same name as the book, questforeternalsunshine.com. Get your copy. Go to your local independent bookseller. They're going to have this book available. If they're sold out, they'll get a copy for you right away. If your booksellers like ours are closed right now, but they're doing orders for you, help them out. Get your copy of Quest for Eternal Sunshine through them. They'll order it and see what Myra Goodman and Mendick Rubin have to share. Myra, I can only thank you so much because I would find myself reading and then stopping because what you captured in Quest for Eternal Sunshine would trigger things in my own life, in my own family, and that is a beautiful thing.
Thank you so much. I so appreciate your kind words. I'm really grateful that you had me on your show. It was such a pleasure.
Well, you take care, and this is going to be a beautiful thing to share with so many people, and I am glad to be one of the couriers of this beautiful message, Quest for Eternal Sunshine, a Holocaust survivor's journey from darkness to light. Folks, get your copy. Go to questforeternalsunshine.com. Find out more about Myra and her father, about the book, about so much, but definitely get connected. Myra, thanks again so very much.
Thank you.